You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast, a podcast all about women and the arts, hosted by Stani and Sadie.
Join us as we explore what it's like being a female artist, examine modern day problems, and educate ourselves and you on important and forgotten female artists of the past.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to More Than Amused. I'm Stani.
I'm Sadie, and welcome. If this is your first time joining us, hi. We are Hello. Two friends who love women in history, and so we get to learn their stories and tell them about you. Tell them, yes. Tell them to you.
Tell them about you.
We're just gonna go hop in a time machine, go talk to him, and then, you know, let them know
what you're up to. That would be like number one use of a time machine is like every time we do an episode, be like, well, we're going to interview. That'd be so cool.
The podcast of the future. Here we come.
There you go. Listen to us and give us reviews so one day we can interview people from the past.
There's a great incentive. Anyways, well, today we are talking about the Oscars, some key moments that happened this year at the Oscars, but also some background on just the differences between women and men and how they're recognized in the movie industry.
Yes.
All of that. It was great fun to learn about.
And if you're listening now, the Oscars happened last week. So I'm sure you saw a lot of Oscar news, but there's always more to it than that. You know, there's history, there's other things we can get into. And so it's always a fun time to kind of understand the why behind everything that's happening out there in pop culture.
Absolutely. And I wanted to shout out some past episodes that we have done that kind of go hand in hand with this. I realized as we were doing this research, I was like, wow, we actually haven't really done a lot with movies or women in movies. But we've done a couple. So the first one is Lena Wertmüller, who was a Italian director. She's awesome. Go check out her episode. We're going to talk about it in this episode a bit, but that one we really talk about like just how many women are directing and being rewarded for their directing in movies. But we also have an episode about the Hollywood starlets, Marilyn Monroe, Audrey Hepburn,
Doris Day, and Grace Kelly.
Kind of comparing how the media and art have betrayed them. Chick flicks, I think we can count in this category.
I completely agree.
Anna Mae Wong, who was a big movie actress from the golden age of Hollywood, and then Millicent Patrick, who did the makeup for horror movies.
Well, more than makeup,
set like design.
I don't know, like, what do you call it when you literally like create a sea creature?
I don't know.
Special effects makeup, maybe?
But yeah, that was for our More Than Amused Monster Month last October.
One's a fun one. Also, if you just want to hear about, you know, the history of things, especially things that are coming up, we have a history of the Grammys, which is a really great one. And we also have like the women who fashioned the Met Gala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I love both of those. And we've got the Met Gala coming up in May, and we just had the Grammys. So if you just want to hear more about like behind the scenes on
and the
all
women
of these
behind
major
these
events.
Yes.
We've got some really good content out there for you.
I know. I'm like, wow, I totally forgot we did those episodes. I'm like, we've been doing this too long now. I'm forgetting everything. But
no, so it's about time we talk about the Oscars or the Academy Awards.
Yes. So highbrow. Wow. Well, anything else that we need to discuss or talk about, or should we just jump into our topic?
I think we can just dive right in. I do want to talk a little bit about the history of it if we can.
Please do.
So the Academy Awards, also known or better known as the Oscars, are like the annual Hollywood ceremony where they give out artistic and technical awards to those in the film industry. They're considered one of the most prestigious and significant awards in the entertainment industry in the United States and actually worldwide, which is why it's a part of the, why did it just fly out of my brain? The thing everyone's trying to get where you get all four of them. Thank you, an EGOT. So one of the four major annual American awards. It's actually the oldest, too. Cool. The Oscar is the first one that happened. The first Academy Awards presentation was actually held on May 16th, 1929.
Wow.
A long time ago. And it was a private dinner function at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, and there was only about 270 people in the audience. And the cost of guest tickets for the night ceremony was $5.
Wow.
Which, mind you, would be about $80 in 2020 prices, but still.
But still, to be able to attend the Oscars for $80, like, that's impressive.
This is what makes me laugh. They only gave out 15 awards. It was for artists, directors, and other participants. And it only ran for 15 minutes. Which, when you compare it to this year's Oscars,
yeah,
that is a world of difference.
15 minutes. You know what? I like that efficiency, though. Like,
I know.
They knew, like, we are here for one purpose and one purpose only. Get in, get out, we're done. No, I mean, yeah. I guess that's why it was so cheap to attend.
Oh, I know, right? Like, $5, you sit here for 15 minutes, and then you're good to go.
And then you're done.
Oh, man. For the ceremony, though, winners were announced to the media 3 months earlier, and so when the second ceremony came around, they had given the results to newspapers to publish the night of the awards, like, so that they would have it for the next day, you know. So they gave them the list of winners and they were like, here, this is for tomorrow's newspaper, you know. But then the Los Angeles Times announced the winners before the ceremony began.
Oh, no.
And thus they brought out the sealed envelope.
Cool.
So that the winners wouldn't be announced before
the actual ceremony.
But I mean, the envelope hasn't been a foolproof method.
Oh, poor La La Land. I am very basic in my movie taste, which means that La La Land is my favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy to see it have won, but, you know.
It didn't.
So what a shame.
That'd be so awkward. I just, at that point, just call it a tie and give it to both of them. Like, what the heck?
Have you seen on TikTok, like, it going around? There's a new trend where it's like it zooms in on all the faces of people's reaction when it was announced that there was a mistake that was made. Just, full body.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, what year was it?
Like 2017, maybe 2018.
Yeah. Around that time, whenever La La Land was nominated, they announced La La Land as the winner for Best Picture, but it actually was Moonlight. Someone got the wrong envelope and all the award winners were like up on the stage celebrating. And then the guy was just like, he read it and he was like, wrong. It was Moonlight.
I remember watching that. I don't watch the Oscars every year. Like, I watch the Grammys every year. I don't really care to watch the Oscars. But for whatever reason, I was watching that year and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Absolutely insane. Here's some other controversies. They've actually had some streakers.
Yes.
There was a 34-year-old Robert Opel who streaked across the stage flashing a peace sign because, you know, that makes it better.
I was reading something about that. It just made me laugh because, like, the opening line of the paragraph was like, in the 1970s, streaking was very popular in America. And I was like, oh, really? I didn't know this. Not really a thing nowadays, but I mean, granted, it's also, there are consequences for such actions.
Yeah, but I think, like, nowadays with, like, cell phones and you can freeze things and reverse image search, no one's looking to do anything that can be caught on camera.
That is so true. Yeah, I just thought the opening sentence of, like, in the 1970s, streaking was a very popular thing in America. I was like, oh, cool. It was like baseball or something.
Oh my gosh. Luckily, that is not happening anymore. But they did think it was a publicity stunt, which is kind of funny. I guess they got publicity.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was gonna say. I feel like you could go into that controversy and say that they switched the envelopes on purpose to, like, make it have an Oscar noteworthy moment, but I don't think they would have done that for the controversy of it.
Yeah, interesting. And also, they've technically have, like, a tradition of the way they follow things. So traditionally, Academy Award ceremonies end with the Academy Award for Best Picture. It's considered the crowning achievement, you know, award of the night. But in 2021, they broke that and ended with the Academy Award for the Best Actor.
Huh.
I don't know why.
I mean, that also, like, feels weird that they're ending with Best Actor. So it's like they're saying it is better to be the best man than the best woman. Right. So
I know. I'm kind of like, that is an interesting choice. Whereas, like, a Best Picture, like, even Best Director would make more sense.
Yeah.
Than,
interesting.
Yeah, like,
did someone, like, big actor win in 2021 that maybe they were trying to, like,
let's...
maybe that was... Wait, hold on. Who won Best Actor in 2021?
Oh, no. It was Anthony Hopkins. He went over Chadwick Boseman, who passed away. They probably thought it was going to be Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, no. They probably thought it would be Chadwick Boseman. That's probably why they did it last. Okay, I take back my snarky comment.
Yeah, but that makes this so much awkwarder. That like, makes it so much worse. Oh, he didn't win. That's so horrible.
Also, you would think that the people doing the planning would have like gotten like a nudge, like, hey,
I know.
No, let's not make people think he's gonna win.
At a certain extent, you've got to loop the party planner in.
You've got to loop the party planner
on who wins, because otherwise, that is uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, that probably is exactly why that award was last, is they were trying to probably make like a special moment, and that didn't really pay off very well. That is a horrible thing.
Break tradition for 1 year, and it doesn't end up being who you think it's gonna be.
Yeah, bad.
Not to mention, obviously, we don't even really need to talk about it, but the slap that happened that was mentioned so many times this year as well. That's another controversy moment that happened. There's also like a lot of firsts that are still happening, and I know we're going to talk about more of them.
Yeah.
But like notably, 2020 was the first year that a foreign language film won Best Picture.
Yeah.
And that was Parasite. So that's like a really, really recent record that was broken. And that continues to be something that amazes me every time, that they're still breaking records when it's like, hasn't it been long enough? Like, we're on like the 90-something, 93rd, 94th.
Yeah, almost 100 years.
Yeah, like 100 years, and we're just barely reaching the point where they're starting to see some diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And which is one of the major problems with the Oscars, that they've been called out for it numerous times, just because it's been historically very white.
Yeah.
And just like any historically very white and historically very male, to be quite fair. And the name Oscar actually came as a nickname for the little statue.
Oh, I always wondered.
And so that's why it's called the Oscars, because he's a little Oscar.
He's a little Oscar.
So you're winning a little golden man. So
I love it.
To have a name, and I think it was Betty Davis who they believe nicknamed it after her first husband, who was Harmon Oscar Nelson. And so they just have little golden men that they're taking home, and that's why it's called the Oscars, even though the official name is the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Oh, cool. And Walt Disney was the first person to use the term Oscar when giving an acceptance speech.
Ah.
So he embraced it. But then again, he gave a personality to a mouse. So naming a little golden man and an acceptance speech,
that seems
isn't that
right.
Crazy?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. If you want to go into like the voting and everything else, that's available online. There's also rules. It's a very complicated process. You have to be like a member. They don't disclose the membership a lot like the Grammys. But from what I understand, the voting is very different from the way that the Grammys do it. Instead of like a ranking system, it's like something else. I don't know exactly how it works. I don't think they've officially said how it works.
Yeah, I wonder
either.
If they keep that just like disclosed as to not. Yeah.
Yeah, there is also like a lot of controversy surrounding votes. A lot of people believe that you can buy them.
Yeah.
And that you purchase your spot as a nominee, and therefore like it's not like an actual representation. But I mean, that could be said for every award show.
That's kind of what, like, yeah, you're always going to have people with those thoughts.
Kind of interesting.
Very interesting. I loved this Jimmy Kimmel quote, which is a sentence I don't say very often, but this
that's
says
the truth.
Yeah, I mean, no hate to him in particular, it's just, you know, I don't say that very often.
On the toast, Claudia Ochsner, she says every time they say like, oh, Jimmy so and so did this or whatever, she's like, wait, which Jimmy? Oh, Jimmy Kimmel, my least favorite Jimmy.
That checks out, yeah.
I just think that's really funny, so.
Well, there we go. Something I don't say often, but I did like this quote, or this joke, I guess, of how does the Academy not nominate the man who directed Avatar? What is he? A woman? Ha 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 ha. Aha. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There have been 95 Best Picture winners, and there have been 591 nominees. Over the course of the Oscars, only 19 female-directed films have been nominated for Best Picture, which is a whopping 3.2%.
It's, you know, just way too many right there.
That, like, that have been nominated. 19 out of 591 are women.
Yeah. And I was trying to find a list of how many have won. I think it's only like three, but I could be wrong. I was trying to Google search and it just kept bringing up how many got nominated a couple of years ago. They're like award.
Yeah.
Or like record breaking.
I think it says 7 women have been nominated. Lena Wertmüller was the first woman nominated ever in the category for best directing of the Oscar, but she didn't win. I think she was just the first one nominated.
The first winner ever was actually Julia Phillips with The Stain.
Yes, Julia Phillips in 1973. I literally have it later on in my notes. Ha.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Anyway, I think there might have actually been more than, I don't know. These stats are weird. Anyway.
7. We're going to go with 7.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And actually, I did see a video of a YouTuber watching every single Best Picture winner.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that would be really cool to do for all the female ones. And then I remember looking it up and being like, oh, so that would take a weekend.
Yeah. Like easy. No biggie.
Yeah. Like it would not be that difficult. Whereas her, it took her like a month to try and get through all of them. So yeah, it's just been very historically
male. There were also some charts that we pulled where it showed like men speak most in Best Picture winning films. And I mean, it's hard to explain properly a bar graph.
Yeah, we'll post it
on our Instagram. But basically, except for in 2003, when Chicago won, men have been speaking the majority of the time in all of these Best Picture winners by a considerable amount, where it's like a huge, like long bar graph for men and then little thing for women, which, you know, you might be like, well, that doesn't mean anything.
But it does.
But I think that it does. Yeah. Especially if it's like so drastic. It's crazy.
It's also like, it's the proportion of words spoken by characters with more than 100. So it's not even like side characters. Like they're not counting like some guy in the street, like yelling like, hey, you know, like it's like characters that have more than 100 words. They, you know, they're a paid
characters.
Speaking part, you know, like I think there's a word count that you have to have in order to get paid more than an extra. And those would be those people. And yeah, the fact that that's the case is just really disappointing. And then I think of Chicago, how many musical numbers and stuff it has about women, and that's the reason why it bumps it up so much more. Whereas the rest of these, like even that Titanic, like gosh, they couldn't give Rose like a monologue. Just really disappointing to see that, that like women aren't even being allowed to talk in movies. There was another one that was like female representation is lower now than in the 1930s.
Yeah, as far as like the Bechdel test, which the Bechdel test is if in a movie two women have a conversation with each other about something other than another man or another male character.
Yeah, like, that's for like Bechdel three test. Lines, I think is the minimum. It just has to be like three line exchanges back and forth, which is depressing how many movies don't pass that. And yeah, it's gone down significantly from like the 60% to the 2010s were in the 40%.
Which the 40% is the percentage of Best Picture winners that do pass the Bechdel test, by the way.
Yeah.
But the 1930s, apparently it was better. So look at us go, progressing and all.
I know. We're so progressive as we fall back into a decline. I also wanted to bring up the fact that like it's not just gender that's so bad.
Yes.
It's also race. If it weren't for Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington, Black actors would not be winning awards because both of them have won, let's see, nominated. So Morgan Freeman's been nominated 5 times. Denzel Washington's been nominated 6. And all the other Black actors have 34 together. And so if it weren't for those two, it would be like even worse than it is, which is really sad that we're counting on two people. So it's like two
major outliers here.
Yeah, to like pull it up, which is really depressing. And that's the same for most other minorities, including Hispanic and Asian. They're just, it's depressingly low. It's also not reflective of the population at all. I read a thing that was like, in order to give the same percentage of Oscar nominations per population.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Based on the Black population of the United States, if you wanted the percentage of Oscar nominees to reflect the population.
Okay. To like of our country. Demographic breakdowns. Yes.
Yes. You would have to nominate 15 actors in 1 year, 15 Black actors in order to bump it up to the actual. Yeah, and that's just for the decade. In order to get the decade where it needs to be, you have to nominate 15 in 1 year.
abysmal.
So that's not great.
Well, I wanted to talk about some different controversial moments that have happened, kind of relating to women and other minorities in relation, things that have happened to the Oscars or just times that the Oscars as an academy have failed. But then I will follow that with some cool historic moments. So maybe times that they did a good job. And then we'll end with talking about some cool moments from this year's Oscars. So the first one is Hattie McDaniel. So she made history as the first Black Oscar winner for her, like, lauded but also very controversial, even at the time that it came out, for her performance as Mammy in 1939's Gone with the Wind. Have you ever seen Gone with the Wind?
I haven't, because isn't it like a 4-hour long movie?
Yes. I was not feeling very good a couple weekends ago, and Jordan said, I've always wanted to watch Gone with the Wind, and it's on a streaming service, and so we watched it. Yeah. I will never watch that movie again. It was 4 hours. I hated the main character. Like, no redemption. And
yeah.
And Jordan tried to be like, no, like, there was redemption because this is what happens at the very end. Okay, so I got to watch her be awful for 4 hours only for her character development to happen in the last 2 minutes of the movie? No.
That is so funny. We will be talking about her later too for one of our episodes coming up because mm-hmm. of how awful she is that she's been compared to Gone Girl.
Yes.
Which is funny that it's Gone with the Wind and Gone Girl. Love it.
Okay, I forgot that we're planning on talking about her and her character in a future episode because she is my enemy. My nemesis mm-hmm. is that character. And I mean, like, the movie has very problematic displays of certain characters, including, you know, the controversial role of Mammy. But I guess it's cool that she was the first Black winner for her role, not just like Black woman, but Black person to win this award. But this is, so the hotel where the Oscars were being held in 1940, 1930s, they held a strict no Blacks policy. So she was forced to sit at a separate table away from everyone else, and she won a plaque instead of a trophy. Granted, that was custom for supporting actor roles at the time until 1943. So that's not necessarily because of her race. That's, I guess, a little fun fact.
This, like, kind of pisses me off because it's like, choose a different hotel.
Choose a different hotel. Like,
you're the Oscars. You have the power. One of your people that you're awarding isn't allowed to sit at a table with the other nominees because of the venue. Switch the venue.
But also, I think it just showed, like, they didn't care. Like, they probably held a similar opinion that they didn't want her there. But it's like, you can put her in her movie. You can.
They nominated her.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm glad that they nominated her, obviously.
I know I am too. But it's like, if you actually, like, cared, then, like, switch the venue. It's not that hard. How many hotels are there in California?
I have no idea.
Oh, what's gosh.
Interesting is, like, so she died in 1952 and she gave her Oscar to Howard University. This is, I don't know the details of this, but apparently it went on a journey, like a very mysterious journey, and eventually got there in 1961. So where was the plaque later? For 10 years? I don't know. But a decade later, it went missing again and has yet to be found. So they don't know where her plaque is. The article made me laugh because it said, then again, after all that Oscar's been through, maybe it doesn't want to be found. And you know what? Fair. Very fair.
Every time I read this, and I've brought up this show so many times, but you know the Warehouse 13 with the artifacts?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I was like, it's an artifact! Like, it would be the perfect thing for an artifact!
That's true. What is this show again? I feel like you mention it all the time, and I've never heard anyone talk about this thing only from you very randomly on...
No, it's because the concept is so much better than the actual show. And that's what bums me out, is because the potential for the show was greater than the actual show. And I have a really hard time with stuff like that.
That's fair. It just didn't.
It's one of the reasons why, like, Don't Worry, Darling bugged me so much. Like, but it could have been so much better.
Yeah.
Things like that live with me forever. It's called Warehouse 13. It's about, like, it's basically a military operation, but instead of, like, covering up, like, aliens or other things, they go and gather these artifacts that have powers because they've, like, gathered too much energy and, like, go rampant. So, like, Edgar Allan Poe's pen is, like, killing people. Or, like, Isadora's scarf was in it.
Isadora Duncan,
like, yeah, did an episode on her. Strangles people, or they have like a Sylvia Plath typewriter, and once you're within reach of it, it like grabs you in until it literally drains the life out of you. It's cool. Like they talk about Jimi Hendrix's guitar, or like the Studio 54 disco ball. I can see how that would be cool.
Yes.
Right. So it's like I like the history behind it, but they like talked very little about some of the history, which was annoying to me because like I mean, we have this podcast. You obviously know that I care.
That we care about the history.
Came from. But yeah, but things like this where I'm like, the Oscars plaque is missing. Like,
this could be an artifact.
Yeah, like it's in Warehouse 13.
Oh my gosh.
Please, if any of you have like watched that show, like please comment because I want to know I'm not alone.
Literally, I've never heard of it. Anyways, but now I'm going to have to go like watch it so I can.
I know.
I can participate in these conversations.
At least watch like the first season or something just so you get the concept.
Definitely.
And then we can move on. It's kind of Indiana Jones, but like the artifacts are like alive.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right. It's a great premise. So. Yeah. I love it. So for today's spotlight, I'm actually going to be shouting out a dear friend of mine who has a podcast of her own. Her name's Amanda, and her podcast is Bare Minimum Babe. I forgot to give her a shout out on the episode that we did on like the Valley Girl and talk and how women speak, because it was originally from a conversation that I was having with her about, because she started a podcast, and then we were both bonding over the fact that we feel very insecure when we're editing ourselves because it shows us how we speak in maybe the ways we didn't realize how we spoke. Anyways, I'm pretty sure that was the conversation we were having, but we were ranting about something, which is something we do as pals. Anyways, but that's when I was like, I think it was like after that conversation, I texted Tawny. I was like, we should do one about how women talk. Anyways, so shout out to her. But her podcast, like I said, it's called Bare Minimum Babe. It's like marketing strategies, but also like kind of like an anti-hustle type podcast where it's like, hey, you know, you don't have to quit your 9-to-5. You don't have to like, you know, it's just everything against the toxic hustle mentalities that people have.
Thank heavens.
Yes, it's very encouraging. She also, I know, like offers marketing strategy and stuff, and as someone who, as a friend, has been like, what should I do with my music and like stuff, she's always someone that I value her opinion of, and yeah, I love bouncing off ideas with her. So if you're looking for someone, if you have a small business you're wanting to help promote, she's also a musician too, so she like has that artist angle as well, which I think is sometimes hard when like you're talking to business people, but like they like don't get artist things, you know, I think can sometimes be weird. But so she has both, so if you're looking for something like that, whether that's just to listen to or someone to potentially talk to, check her out. Like I said, it's Amanda with Bare Minimum Babe.
Absolutely love that. I have a crochet artist.
Ooh.
And I can't pronounce her username, but I'll try. It is Bruna. Cool. And then I think Ticality is how you would finish that, but it's all one word.
Ah, yes.
Bruna Ticality. But her name's Bruna, and I ran across a TikTok of her doing a flower pot that turns into individual coasters. So you pull out the little bouquets and that's little crocheted coasters. Adorable.
Adorable. That is joyful.
Yes. She also just has a bunch of other tutorials and other things. She has a YouTube channel. I think she mainly does tutorials, so she teaches you how to do it rather than
selling
stuff. But there's some Barbie clothes, which I love to see. Like
Barbie. Oh my gosh.
My little inner child just delighted.
Literally.
As well as just like some really pretty flowers. She did a lot of like ornaments and different things for the winter season. Some pumpkins and stuff. On her TikTok, someone thought that like her little flower pot was popcorn. And so she said that she's going to do one where like you have the quintessential little popcorn holder, like the red and white striped, and then have it pull out and it's
little popcorn. Oh yeah, my like, gosh.
Adorable.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah. So just really fun. I love seeing textile arts like this get their moment.
Yeah. So. Man, I almost like shouted out another episode we done. I feel like that's all we've been doing that. This entire episode is just shouting out.
Like, here's an
stuff.
Episode that ties into every other episode we've ever
listen,
made.
Listen, we've been doing content for a while now.
Oh, we really have.
But yeah, shout out to our Weaving Women episode.
For real, though.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, just follow her.
Yes.
It's a grand old time. The little mushrooms, also, if you make it down that far, are so very cute.
So very cute.
Bruna Ticality.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on to other, I almost said popular controversies. That's not right. Famous controversies.
Infamous.
Infamous. Thank you. That's the word. So Marlon Brando won his second Best Actor Oscar for The Godfather. But when his name was called at the 1973 ceremony, an actress and activist, Sachin Littlefeather, made her way to the stage and alerted the bewildered audience that Brando would not be accepting the award due to Hollywood's depiction of Native Americans. And in light of the protests at Wounded Knee in South Dakota. So she was greeted actually with boos and ridicule from the audience. She later claimed that John Wayne had to be physically restrained from trying to remove her from the stage. Sure. Now, listen, the Academy issued an apology to Littlefeather for her mistreatment at the ceremony in 2022.
You're kidding.
Literally, not until last year is when they formally issued her an apology. And that was done less than 2 months before she died at the age of 75.
That is so messed up.
Yes.
I remember, like, I've heard about this because we've done some research, you know, into like indigenous artists and everything. Mm-hmm. I remember reading about this incident and that it was kind of one of the reasons that it brought her a little bit more infamy, you know, and like fame, like people mm-hmm. knew her name because of this.
Yeah. And I was just shocked that it literally took them until 2022 for them to be like, oh, wait, we should like formally put out a statement and apologize.
Yeah. Why was no one mad at Marlon Brando? Sounds like it was his idea.
I mean, I'm sure they were, but like, she wasn't there, so she got all the flack for it. I know.
Hate that.
Horrible. Another infamous moment. In 2015, all the acting nominations went to white actors.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And so a Twitter user, April Rain, coined the Oscars so white in kind of a response to this. And yeah, it talked about how the Oscars have always been so white, even just like you mentioned. Even when it came to parts for non-white actors, Louise Rayner is a white woman who infamously won Best Actress in 1938 for The Good Earth, playing a Chinese farmer.
Which, if you want to hear about that, go listen to our episode on Anna-Mae Wong.
Uh-huh, yes.
She was turned down for that role, which is wrong when you consider it was Yellowface. So, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And insane that she literally won Best Actress when it like could have gone to
an Asian woman.
Yep. Who was like a big deal in Hollywood. Like, it's not like she was a nobody. Yeah. So
no, she was extremely talented. She had quite the name for herself. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been weird to cast her in that.
No.
But yeah, anyway, go listen to the episode. Like, but they couldn't because of the law.
Oh, yeah. It is a good episode and it makes you very discouraged about it all. But yeah, the hashtag brought renewed attention to the Oscars' long history of exclusion, which eventually provoked them to diversify its membership.
I was about to make a joke about how he's a little gold man, but he should have just been white.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, you tell him, Stan.
I'm not wrong.
You're not. You're not. It's, yeah, the Oscars are for white men, it seems, and white men only. Apparently, though, because of that hashtag and people talking about it, they diversified its membership, though it's kind of too soon to tell if that's really doing anything.
Yeah, I will say, though, did you see the presentation that they did on the Oscar Museum or like the Academy Awards? Motion Picture Museum.
I don't think I did.
Okay, it's actually really cool. I remember reading an article about it. I think they just barely opened it. They released this like museum of motion pictures in California, and they had members of the board talking about what they're doing and the different displays, and it looks like they actually have quite a diverse board for the Academy Awards and for the museum. And from their titles, like, sometimes you wonder if they're just like pulling people in for a video, you know, like, you talk, you're diverse.
Yeah. But
from their titles, it actually looked like they were in like prominent positions.
Cool.
And they do like film screenings of historic films. They have like things talking about like Black actors and Asian actors and Hispanic actors that weren't nominated, and they have like a whole section about that and like a whole thing for the history of the Oscars and for like motion pictures in general. And so it looks like they're trying to do like some archival work.
That's cool.
You know, to bring a little bit more attention to things that have been overlooked for so long. So hopefully, you know, like this is a sign of good things to come.
Okay, well, then on that note, for the sign of good things hopefully to come, let's talk about the good historic moments that have happened at the Oscars. So Rita Moreno won an Oscar in 1962 for her performance as Anita in the film adaptation of the Broadway musical West Side Story. And in 1962, she became the first Latina woman to win an Oscar. And she's actually one of the few EGOT holders, period, but actually the only Latina EGOT holder, as she has an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and a Tony. Spoiler alert.
Good for her.
I'm going to cover her and talk about her more next week. So if you want to learn more about Rita, come on back next week. Like we mentioned a little bit earlier, Julia Phillips was the first female producer to win an Oscar for Best Picture. She won for The Sting in 1973. Mm-hmm. In 1983, Buffy St. Marie became the first Indigenous woman, and actually, I think Indigenous person, to win an Oscar. Jodie Foster was the first openly LGBTQ woman to win an Oscar for Best Actress. She won her first Oscar in 1989 for The Accused, and her second, actually, in 1992 for Silence of the Lambs. What is crazy is that Halle Berry remains the only Black woman to win an Academy Award for Best Actress. In 2001, in 2001 that she won for Monsters Ball. In her acceptance speech, she said, "It's for the women that stand beside me, Jada Pinkett, Angela Bassett, Vivica Fox, and it's for every nameless, faceless woman of color that now has a chance because this door tonight has been opened. Thank you. I'm so honored." But then, in the wake of the Oscars So White movement that happened like pretty much 2015 through 2017, she told Teen Vogue, she said that her win was meaningless to her as Hollywood had yet to give women of color the accolades and opportunities they deserve. And then, quote, "The moment really meant nothing. It meant nothing. I thought it meant something, but I think it meant nothing." So that's the sad side of that, where it's like, if she's still the only one, it's hard to be like, wow, look, I did open doors, when it's like, no, I don't know.
It's like they let you slide through and then they slammed it shut again.
It's like the anomaly I don't know. Obviously, I'm sure she was really optimistic that it was like, wow, amazing, this is opening the door. And then it was like, no, like you said, like they just let her slip through and then slammed it shut again.
That's so disappointing.
I know. Catherine Bigelow became the first woman ever to win Best Director. So I think that the 1973 one was just Best Producer, or for the producer. Yes.
Do you want to know what's funny about this Catherine Bigelow win?
Yes.
Okay. Catherine Bigelow is married to, was married to, James Cameron.
Oh.
Do you know what film was directed in 2010 by James Cameron? Avatar.
Oh, yes.
Guess who was divorced at that time and were up against each other as ex-spouses for the Best Director Award in 2010?
Really?
Yeah, and she won! Oh, man. I just thought that was so funny, especially because Avatar was like box office hit. Like,
what is up with women getting divorced and then just thriving, you know?
I don't know. I wonder.
Stunning. Yeah. Divorced woman thriving.
That's the hope.
No, but really, that's amazing. I love that for her. Good for her.
So funny. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he had already won Academy Award for Best Director for Titanic in 1997. He had his time. But just the fact that like she got to go up against him for that award the year of his biggest film.
And I bet that was so sweet.
Just iconic. Yeah. So yeah, go Catherine Bigelow. We love that.
So Ruth E. Carter was the first Black woman to win an Oscar for Best Costume Design. She actually won for Black Panther in 2019.
And she won again this year.
Oh, wait, really? Amazing.
She's also the first Black woman to win two Oscars.
Wow. That's incredible. Of this year.
So she did the costume design once again for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And she dedicated it to her mother, who passed away at the age of like 98 this past year. And also about Chadwick Boseman, and just said, hey, take care of mama for us. And
that's beautiful.
Her speech was beautiful, like absolutely wonderful. She talked about like all the women like, the power of Black women and the women that have come before her and everything, like, mm-hmm. incredible. And there's no denying that, like, the costume design for that movie is, like, it's literally out of this world.
Yeah.
Like, it's supernatural. Yeah, so that's a really cool thing for her to be, like, the first Black woman to win an Oscar for best costume design twice.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then in 2021, Chloe Zhao became only the second woman ever and the first woman of color to win best director. So we were very wrong when we said earlier, I don't know if that was referencing nominations, but
it was nominations.
Women have only won for best director twice. So, but hey, at least it's happened.
Oh, before we were talking about, like, best picture nominations that were directed by a woman.
That's why I was getting confused.
It gets confusing because you technically, like, the best picture award is most important, I think, to the director in a lot of ways. But then, like, best director.
Okay, well, let's talk about some moments from the 2023 Oscars and we'll be done.
Yes.
Everything Everywhere All at Once swept. It won for best picture, if that was not clear.
It also won three of the actors that won the best. The top categories were all from Everything Everywhere All at Once. The two supporting actors and best actress. Which, can we talk about how cute the four of them are?
Yeah, it was very adorable. Nice.
Oh my gosh. And most of them were, like, child stars.
Yeah.
So, like, having their moment, I was so happy to see that.
I loved this quote where Michelle said her Oscar was a beacon of hope for little girls who look like her, adding, "Ladies, don't let anyone tell you that you're past your prime. Never give up."
Love that.
Which is something we talk about a lot on here, of just, like, not feeling like you're past your prime if you're older than 25 years old. So
seriously, she's been in a lot. Her first movie was in 1997.
Wow.
And she's been in stuff forever since then, like, literally all these different things, like, doing so much, everything from Kung Fu Panda to Avatar to like The Mummy, Memories of Geisha. Like, for her to be able to win after all of this, that's
incredible.
It's really incredible.
Yeah. Some other moments. John Travolta, like, got really emotional referencing Olivia Newton-John, who she passed away in August of 2022. He, like, ended it by saying that they will remember those who we will remain hopelessly devoted to.
Oh.
And he was, like, emotional. It was very sweet.
Yeah.
Rihanna performed, and so did Lady Gaga, which was cool. Neither of them won for best song, but I mean, they performed, so that's cool. And then other thing is Jamie Lee Curtis won her first Oscar.
How is it possible that Jamie Lee Curtis is just winning an Oscar?
I know.
I was shocked. I was like, oh yeah, she won. And then it was like, it's her first Oscar. She's been in everything.
I know. I was surprised too. And her speech, she was like, I didn't win. Like, this is all of our Oscar. Like, referencing all the people who've helped her. So I thought that was sweet.
Which was really sweet. And kind of referenced that viral moment from the BAFTAs where it was like, Jamie Lee Curtis, you are all of us.
Yeah.
And she's like, you are all, you know, like, you all won this. It was cute. I also think, so her parents are previous Oscar nominees, but I don't think they're winners.
Oh, okay.
Because she's a nepo baby, like, obviously, like, worked her butt off for her position that she's in, but she is, like, a nepo baby. And I think what she mentioned in her speech was that her parents had both been nominated, but they had never won.
Oh.
And so it's, like, their Oscar, you know, like,
oh, that is nice.
Yeah. So it was just really very sweet and a good reminder, you know, like, 64 years old.
Yeah.
Winning an Oscar. Like, yes, of course.
No past your prime moment, ladies.
Never.
I mean, I'm preaching that as a 25 year old, but I'm telling that to myself. So.
Yeah. I also, like, even though this is a podcast about women in the arts, I do want to mention the fact that Ke Huy Quan, is that how you say his name? Ke Huy Quan won for Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once. He is a child actor and an immigrant. His story and his speech literally made me tear up. It was the sweetest thing. Everyone probably knows him from Indiana Jones and then, like, Goonies, which is just so sweet. I even heard that his Goonie co-star that he shouted out in his speech helped him draft his contract for Everything Everywhere All at Once because he's a lawyer now. The kid who played Chunk.
Oh,
is a lawyer. So he helped him, and I was like, how cute. And then also Brendan Fraser, another child actor, George of the Jungle, went through a very, very, very hard time for a long time there, and now is able to return and win an Oscar for his role in The Whale. So
yeah,
just like beautiful little moments for a bunch of people that I feel like have been in Hollywood forever and haven't like, won anything.
Finally got their moments. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really nice. Like it was a good little moment for the top four, you know, of actors and actresses.
I agree. Well, there we go. I guess that's everything.
It makes me feel like I need to go watch more of them.
I know. I was like, I feel weird talking about the Oscars when I'm like, I don't think I actually like watched any of the movies that were nominated this
No,
year.
You did. Because did you watch Top Gun?
Oh, you're right. I literally only watched Top Gun, but that doesn't feel like something to be proud of.
I know, but we all watched Top Gun.
We all watched Top Gun. You're right.
We all did. It's okay.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No, but I wanted to watch it. I remember seeing the previews for it. And then it was one of those things that like slipped through where I don't remember it, like, because I don't go to the movie theaters anymore. So like I have to wait for them to be released on streaming services. And I just don't remember seeing that one pop up.
Same. Honestly, I know it's a good movie. I just know it's going to like take effort. And
yes,
I am lazy with and my media it looks consumption
a little,
right now.
A little spooky, right?
Yeah, I think. Or is it just like intense, like action? I don't know.
I think it's like kind of sci-fi spooky a little. And a lot of them just are very serious. That's the thing about the Oscars.
I don't need... I'm not serious. In the mood for depressing, sad movies, so...
But, you know, I applaud them for the work that they're doing. The Fablemans looked really cute.
That one looked adorable.
I still haven't watched Elvis because after our Elvis episode, I don't know if I can stomach it.
Yeah, honestly, I did watch it. I don't like Elvis. I don't like it. That movie just glorified him. Also, okay, so in the book that we read last month, Shine Bright by Danielle Smith, she talked for a little bit about how like Elvis was racist.
Yeah.
And it really pissed me off that the movie tries to like raise him up as like someone who like, I don't know, like helped black people. You know, in that like wasn't racist, because I think that what the movie was trying to do was like, yeah, he wasn't the best towards women, but like, let's focus on the thing he was good at. And it was this. And that was, I don't know, reading her book, I was like, yeah, that was not true. Oh. It kind of reminded me that I'm like, they definitely were like overcompensating probably a couple anecdotes that they'd heard that were like, oh, this could paint him in a good light. Let's just like really emphasize that. And not mention anything racist that he did. And so
the problem I've had with like a lot of these is I feel like they're trying to capitalize off of like Bohemian Rhapsody's success.
Yes.
And it's like, you can't be Freddie Mercury. Like, you just can't, you know, like, that's just a story that like doesn't really get repeated. Like, no one's going to like be that much of a champion in the way that like they were able to make Freddie Mercury. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's like Elvis wasn't that great of a guy. And honestly, it probably would have been better if they would have showed that.
It would have been a better movie, I think so.
No, I agree.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Hope you feel just as frustrated with the Academy as we do. I keep wanting to say Recording Academy because I'm used to talking about Grammys.
The Motion Picture Academy. Which, honestly, can we just talk about the fact that the name Academy is confusing? Because it's not like it's a school. So I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah.
It's just a club. The Academy Club.
It's a good old boys club. That's what it
That's
is.
That's literally what it is.
Well, be back next week. Like I mentioned, I'm going to be talking all about Rita Moreno. And I'm very excited to share about the amazing life that she lived.
Who she is. Well, follow us on Instagram. We'll be back next Monday. Leave a rating and review and have a wonderful week.
Goodbye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.